Car Talk with Melinda Ferguson on Weekend Breakfast.
It is time now for our regular monitoring feature for a Saturday morning. Whether you are a butterfeed, a petrol head, or simply just love that new car smell, which is me, and the roar of an engine, Daily Maverick's motoring journalist Melinda Ferguson is joining you now, taking you to the top of the hour to give us a lowdown on some of the latest cars on the road and maybe keep us up to date with the motor industry news. Melinda, good morning. How are you?
Lovely to hear you, Abongile. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much. And I'm putting it forward to you before we even talk about cars, Melinda. If you were President Cyril Ramaphosa right now, how would you be dealing with the stress? What would you be doing? Maybe taking a drive? I don't know.
Well, I would be going and doing a bit of Bikram yoga if I was President Ramaphosa, in a very heated room, getting the sweat out of me and just trying to get a bit zen about everything. I would also maybe suggest that he goes in a beautiful car with massage seat functions.
I'm guessing that's what we're going to be hearing about. I believe you want to chat to us about the Nissan's new Qashqai.
I do. Abongile, I'm sure you've seen many Qashqais around in your lifetime. And they were first brought out in 2006, actually. It's been around for 16 years. And I have to say, I think for Nissan, the Qashqai has been a big hit. They've sold over 3 million units, you know, globally. South Africans have loved the Qashqai. Second generation came a few years after the first. And then in 2020, this current third generation was launched. But of course, because of COVID, because of all the problems that there were in the motoring industry due to the lockdowns, we've only got it now. It's in September, it landed in South Africa, the generation three.
Okay, so what else would we see in the, you know, in its class? Maybe let's compare it.
So I think what has happened with Nissan as the new Qashqai is that it's been quite clever in terms of really upping the kind of premium appeal. But traditionally, you'd probably look at the Haval 6, which is doing extremely well in South Africa. You'd look at a Kia Sportage, a Hyundai Tucson, both South Korean brands, probably the Mazda CX-5, definitely the Toyota RAV, and maybe the Volkswagen Tiguan, although that might be a little bit more expensive.
All right. How does it stand perhaps against some of these competitors?
Look, I'm a big Sportage fan. I love what it looks like. I prefer what the Kia Sportage looks, although I must say this, Nissan, when you look at how, I don't know if you've got any pictures on how it looks, it's got a lot more kind of, I mean, all the motoring manufacturers are going more angular. So it's got more sharp kind of edges, more sporty kind of appeal. There's this big front grille, very slim LED matrix headlamps. And there is something called a boomerang daylight running light, which is a kind of a shape. And so I think the Nissan's really looking good. But a lot of those cars that I spoke about, even the Haval, and I have never been a big fan of Haval, but it seems like the whole of South Africa is.
Yeah, I know.
So I better start paying some attention because they can't be buying Havals for nothing. And so I would like to, in the new year, actually test drive one of them. I haven't yet. But the Tiguan's also a beautiful car. Look, the Qashqai, let me talk to you a bit about its engine. We've got only a petrol engine this time. Pity there isn't a diesel. I would have preferred a diesel as well. It's a 1.3-liter four-cylinder turbo petrol. Thankfully, it's got turbo. It's got 110 kilowatts. Sorry, I'm looking at the entry level one. The 110 kilowatts, 250 newton meters in the top of the range ones. There are three trim levels. We're looking at one called a Vizier, which is the entry level, and that's a manual. It's got less kilowatts. It's got about 96 to be exact. And then you've got two more trim levels, the Accenta and the Accenta Plus, which is the one I drove, the top of the range one. I mean, listen, I was quite impressed with its engine. I drove it in Joburg. It was launched in Cape Town, but I got it for a few days in Johannesburg recently. It was very sprightly. It did its thing. I was kind of thinking a 1.3-liter engine, is it going to be strong enough? But because of the turbo, it actually gets you to speed very quickly. So I was impressed with it.
And is it very economical? I think that's what many of us would be sitting and saying, okay, you drove it in an urban environment, and you've just told us about the engine now. Will it save fuel? And I mean, is it the kind of car that, I don't know, would make us feel good about ourselves that we're doing our part in the environment?
We'll be doing our part and we're not breaking our salary at the fuel station. Well, you know, manufacturers love to claim certain figures. And then when you're in real time driving, you're like, hang on, they said 6.5 and now I'm getting 9. And I think that what happens with manufacturers, they obviously test in absolutely ideal environments. But saying that, the Qashqai, which is claimed at 6.5 liters to 100 or 6.7, 6.5. I got about 6.7, sometimes 7. So it wasn't very out from what the manufacturers were claiming, which was quite impressive. Look, I didn't take it for very long drives. I was driving a lot during the sorry for all the cyclists, but when Johannesburg closes down for the 94.7 cycle race, I did a lot of kilometers to try and get to Sandton. And I was surprised. And you know, Abongile, it's got a CVT gearbox. I'm not a fan. I've often complained with Sarah Jane about my hate for CVT gearboxes. But I have to say the Nissan CVT gearbox was really good. There was no lag. I don't know if you've driven CVT gearboxes, but there's often this kind of drone.
Yeah,
this kind of washing machine in the background. Yeah. So this one didn't. I must say that I don't know what they did to it, but they did manage to make it into a pretty smooth gearbox. The manual one I haven't tested, and that's the entry level one, but that could be actually quite a nice one to have as well. Although I think when you're looking at these kind of SUVs, automatic is the most peaceful kind of way to drive.
If you've just joined us in conversation 44 minutes after 8, or if you wish 16 minutes before we get to the top of the hour, you're listening to the voice of Melinda Ferguson, who joins you to chat about the Nissan's new Qashqai, saying that for now it's ticking all the right boxes, but perhaps in our conversation as we continue to talk about this car, maybe there will be some issues in there. We'd love to hear from you also at home. Maybe you've driven one of these, maybe you're an owner of one of these, and you have one or two things to share with us, some advice to share with us, do so on 072-567-1567. Melinda, let's talk about safety in any car that we talk about. I mean, that's the first thing, one of the first things we look at. Is my family going to be safe? Am I going to be safe?
So, very good point. And I have to say, I did a bit of research. You know, there's this Euro NCAP safety testing, which is a very respectable a sort of a way to test whether a car, I mean, they're quite very strict, not quite strict. So the Nissan Qashqai got actually 5 stars out of 5 at the Euro NCAP safety testing. They've got something like it's called ProPilot, which means autonomous driving. So what they've done is put a system into this new Qashqai where it basically does some pretty autonomous, meaning self kind of awareness around how you're driving. There's autonomous emergency braking. You've got pedestrian detection. Last week I was talking about how many people just walk in front of cars. It's very handy to have something which goes beep, beep, beep. There's someone in your way. There are intelligent headlights, which kind of sense what else is around you. The safety, I could go on forever with it, but I think that they've really pulled it together and got one of the best offerings in this segment in terms of safety?
I'm going to, you know, in a few minutes' time, I want to find out from you the things you loved and the things you didn't like about the car. But in the meantime, maybe you talk to the fact that you drove it up in out in Johannesburg. And, you know, Joburg is where what you drive says a lot about you, I suppose. Anyway, who is the target market here? I mean, how does the car look? Is it the kind of car that says, I'm here, I'm Abs?
Listen, I mean, the Nissan badge, I'd say it's one of those medium respected brands. No one's going to go, oh God, Abungile, you got a Nissan. They're going to say that if you got a Porsche or a Merc or a Beamer. So I think it's got credibility, but not in the kind of, sorry, my dog is sighing a lot there as I said that. He's like, oh no, not again. So I think in terms of like respectability, I think it's quite appealing for the male market. You know, you've got the X-Trail, you've got this Nissan Qashqai, and then it's also appealing for the female market. So it's kind of got this cross-gender appeal, which I think is what is on its side and why it does so well. There's nothing too showy about it. It does its job and it's a very reliable car. So I think in terms of the target market, it's going to be people who've probably got a family. You've got people who might be wanting to do a bit of off-roading. You're wanting to have a fuel kind of conscious approach. You're not wanting to have like 15 liters to 100 kind of 0 to 100 in 2 second kind of car. So I think it's that kind of good, safe, reliable. And in South Africa, it's going to be able to go over potholes, go over some of the bad roads and go on gravel. You're not going to be able to take it up a hill and climb over rocks with this Qashqai, but most people don't do that.
I'm laughing at the fact that, you know, in our country, when you're buying a car, you have to be mindful of potholes.
Yeah.
You have to go, oh, okay.
You have to.
Will it go over potholes? Okay, that's good. It's a good car. I don't care about how it looks. You can go over potholes. Belinda, okay. So what did you love about the car? One. And two, what did you not love about the car? Where do you think perhaps there's room for improvement?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the inside of the car, and both of those questions are going to be answered, Abungile. So the inside, I must say, I was quite shocked in a good way that it was so premium. There's leather. It's premium. It's got soft touches. There's none of this hard, plasticky, cheap feeling. These are all the things I liked, by the way. It's also got this very good leather. I love having a wireless charge pad for my phone. So you just put your phone down and it charges without having to have cables. You've got fully electric seats and there's a memory function. So if you like it a certain way, it's going to remember that it was. And the funny thing is, this is what most people are going to love, but I'm going to tell you why I didn't like it so much. There's a massage, as I suggested, that Mr. Poor Cyril Ramaphosa should get into a seat, a car with a massage function. The Nissan Qashqai has this, which is very unusual for this segment. But I had just gotten out of a Range Rover, the new Range Rover, which is a 3.5 million rand car. And that massage function, you could choose so many different options. There was lumbar this, lumbar that, mid-back, neck. It was just like you had about 40 ways of getting massaged. The Nissan one, when I put it on, it felt like someone was literally punching my back a bit. I didn't think it was the most subtle massage. And I know this sounds like such a rubbish thing to complain about, but it felt like someone was like sort of almost nudging me, like, go on. Go on. So I think the massage function, you have to get used to it. And if you've never been massaged in a car, you'll probably love it. But if you get out of a Range Rover and get into the Qashqai, you're going to feel the difference.
I was telling the listeners earlier on that I may be in need of one of those massages because when I woke up this morning, the back was hurting. So maybe that's the sort of rough yana. Maybe that's the sort of rough massaging that I need from that. Okay, you were still saying?
Yeah. So the massage function, I know it's a rubbish thing to complain about, but I just thought they could be a bit more subtle. Nissan, I hope you're listening. And the other thing, I wasn't quite sure if I liked it or didn't. There could have been a bit more digitalization in the kind of tech. There still are these kind of sort of buttons and that kind of thing, but there's some people who absolutely love that. You know, the older folk, I think, are getting very confused by all the touch screens. I've heard a lot of people complaining every time I touch one thing, then it goes to another thing. So I think the people who are buying the Qashqai, if you like still turning kind of traditional knobs, that is something you're going to love. I thought it could have gone a little bit better in terms of the tech. But those were the only two things, the massage being too harsh. And and maybe the too many knobs in the in the cabin.
I'm with the old folks on this one. I don't know, for the life of me, there's something that I just enjoy about turning knobs, and doing all of that.
Yeah.
The whole touchscreen thing for me can be very confusing, and it's so, I don't know what's the word that I'm looking for, man. You know, when I get into a car, I like the fact that the car is built around me. That's good. But also, I still want to know that I'm in a car, not a computer. I don't want to scroll up or down. Yeah. I just want to turn the volume up or down, you know?
So you probably find that a lot of people will actually be really happy about that, because there have been more and more complaints that a lot of the cars is, I mean, just for example, the Golf 8, which I absolutely adore as a car, but it's gone very screen. Like, there's nothing to turn anymore. And quite a lot of the old fans of the Golf 8 were complaining it's become like an absolute sort of like a maze of touch screens, and you have to keep on putting this one into that one. But it is the way cars are going. They are literally becoming more and more tactile. And so I think that the manufacturers who are sussing out the complaints are being clever, probably, about putting those little knobs back.
If you've just joined us in conversation, we only have about 7 minutes left now as we continue to talk about the Nissan Qashqai. We're chatting, of course, to Melinda, who is joining us to talk about this wonderful car. She was just sharing with us now some of the things that she likes and some of the things that she perhaps does not like about this specific car. So I'm going to hazard a guess, guess at price now in just a second. But will you talk to us through some of the different models? So I think you alluded to it earlier on, but I'm asking, yeah, is it a guzzler? You know, is it fuel efficient? Will we save fuel here?
I think that in summary, in terms of this whole, it's a petrol, it's a pretty efficient. I was getting around 7, even 6.9 liters. I think the claim is 6.1 or 6.5. It's pretty much an impressive kind of fuel using car. It's not a guzzler. I think the upside of it is that it has gone very premium compared to previous generations. The leather always makes a difference for me. You've got leather in the car. You've got a leather steering wheel. You've got leather seats. The boot space is good. I never mentioned that earlier. And the passengers at the back, I did try it out. Very spacious in terms of leg room. So you're definitely going to be able to fit some pretty tall people at the back. I think that the models, they've come in with three models, only one engine. Oh, that's the other thing. I wish there was a diesel. I think a diesel would have given you better consumption, better fuel range, those kinds of things. But perhaps next year they might bring something that resembles a diesel. In terms of the models, there are three trim levels: a Vizier, which is the entry level manual. You've got the Accenta. And then the top of the range, Accenta Plus.
Okay.
Would you like to now hear the big?
Yeah.
The big.
You know where I was going. You know where I was going.
All right. Do you want to have a guess? I don't know if you've cheated.
I have not. No. I have not. I have no clue, especially with cars these days, and the difference in pricings. It's. I'm saying though, 6. Am I far off?
No, you're actually very,
Very close. Ah. In fact, you are almost on the money. The entry-level 1.3T Vizia, the manual, is $568,200. And the 1.3 Accenta Turbo is $639,300. And then the top of the range, 1.3 Turbo Accenta Plus, is $670,600.
Oh, okay, so we're dicing around there. Yeah, we're all playing around there. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the thing is, Abongile, we used to go like 200 grand was a reasonable price for a car, 300. Now we're going, well, at least it's not a million. You know, cars are incredibly expensive in this country. We are sitting watching cars. I mean, even now, my whole brain has shifted. So if something's under a million, I say, well, that's not a bad deal. Meanwhile, I can't afford it. I can't do the million rand car. But so I think they've come in at a reasonable price. I don't think it's like super cheap, but I do think it is reasonable. And within its competition, the Haval is probably it is cheaper. I'd say the RAV is more expensive. The Tiguan's definitely more expensive. The Haval, and then of course there's also the Chery. Hey, and I forgot to mention the Chery. The Chinese cars are doing some serious business in this country.
Yeah, no, look, their designs are absolutely delicious, Melinda. I'm not going to lie, because
Chery has got a beautiful look. Yeah.
In the past, many of these Chinese cars were just, you could tell, they just took whatever panel they had and they put something together. They threw in an engine from Mars and it must just move because our government almost allows everything to come into the country. That's another story for another. Yeah. But now, all of a sudden, I'm looking at these cars. I'm like, hang on a minute. When did you get leather seats?
The Chery Tiggo, the Pro, the 8. And inside they are very, very, very premium and very impressive. The only thing is their fuel consumption is terrible.
Yeah.
I will say that. Almost all of them. I haven't seen one efficient Chinese car.
Melinda, I have to say goodbye to you, but before I let you go, it's a conversation that perhaps also the listeners can join in on 0725671567. Now, I don't know if you remember back in the early 2000s, 2010, 2011, there was conversations around, can you go and do your driver's license test using an automatic car? Right? It was a big debate. And yes, you could, but that license will limit you only or to your automatic cars. You can still go back and do for manual cars. It's been interesting to find that in 2022 now, the conversation is, can you do your driver's license test in an electric car? Imagine that.
I haven't even thought of that, but I think that, I mean, why not?
You know, that's what I'm thinking. Logic would have, but if I've seen anything with COVID in this country, logic doesn't really work very well.
I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. We could have a whole conversation about that, my darling.
Melinda, thank you so very much for joining us. We'll chat to you next weekend, hopefully.
Fantastic.
And thank you to each and every one of you for joining in. Maybe that's the question you want to have with me, conversation you want to have with me. Can you do your driver's license test in an electric car in South Africa? Chat after the news.
On capetalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DSTV channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM. This is Eyewitness News.
With mounting calls for President Ramaphosa to resign, his allies say he's being attacked, and Myanmar sentences 7 students to death. Good morning, I'm Maki Malapo. With the country on tenterhooks on the fate of President Cyril Ramaphosa, the ANC's National Working and National Executive Committees are set to meet virtually today to debate the Palapala Farm scandal. This comes amid mounting calls for the president to resign, while some within the ANC are calling for him to stay and fight. The meeting relates to a Section 89 independent panel report which found that there is an impeachable case to be made against the president. The report stated that Ramaphosa violated his oath of office by not reporting the burglary and theft of over $500,000 in cash at his game farm in 2020. The president did not meet with ANC officials ahead of yesterday's meeting, nor did he pitch for the physical sitting arranged to take place at Nasrec. The meeting was abandoned abruptly, with some arguing that discussions on Palapala needed Ramaphosa in the room.